You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, as well as 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It's 10:41 AM here on this Friday, December 29th. I'm Cameron Heron, and it's time for the Valley Talk program. And I've got a couple of very special guests on today's Valley Talk. It's Shane Heltsteb, Chief of the Crookston Fire Department, and Derek Cox, an on-call firefighter. How are you two doing today?
Good. So just waking up here. So I work the night shift train. So it's nice to see the sun shining today.
Yeah.
I woke up and I was kind of wondering what that bright thing in the sky was. So,
well, you definitely wouldn't have seen the sun yesterday, that's for sure, with all that fog.
Wow. Yeah, it was foggy.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So we brought you both on here because it's coming up to be winter time and definitely a lot of things fire related and just safety related that I think you guys would be very knowledgeable and insightful about. So we brought you on here. So let's talk about some of the most important things you think for when it comes to winter safety as opposed to, you know, in the other seasons.
The one thing we start with is actually one that it's a 12-month issue, and that's cooking safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get into these holidays, it gets busy around the household if you got family over, stuff like that, and making sure that you're using safe practices, that you're not turning your back if you are using stovetops, open flame, stuff of that nature. Just making sure that you keep an eye on everything that is going on in a kitchen or, you know, even on a barbecue grill outside. So just making sure, because it does. It gets chaotic, and it doesn't take very long, and it's still the leading cause of house fires, and it's this time of year that you always see the calls ramp up, and that's usually a cause.
And of course, you know, you got a bunch of, you know, kids and pets around and all the family, and like you said, it gets to be a chaotic time.
Yeah, and, you know, we experienced that even this year, just having to chase dogs out of the kitchen because just tall enough to get to the countertop. So, yeah, you know, chasing them out and then making sure they stay away, and, you know, it's nothing for them to go up and just try to jump up and grab something, knock something else over. You got kids, you can end up with burns, let alone fires.
And what are some of the specific tips that maybe families could use in order to keep their children or their pets or their home safe from when they're cooking?
It's realistically, it just comes down to being attentive. You know, don't forget what you have in that kitchen. Don't leave the kitchen. You know, if you're in there, stay in there and watch what's going on. You know, everybody these days has smartphones, stuff like that. Oh, you get a text or you get something, you go and pop and you look at it. Next thing you know, 10 minutes go by.
Yeah.
That happens every day. Well, now when you're in the kitchen, stuff like that, and a little kid does come up behind you, you just never know. You back up, trip over. It's just being attentive and just being responsible.
And 10 minutes is more than enough time for a disaster to hit.
No.
So, what about Derek? Do you got any tips of your own?
Well, yeah, you know, winter here, it's been an interesting one so far this year, but definitely even the last few days we've had this freezing fog on the roads, and my take, you know, driving tips, you know, just take your time, especially around the holidays. You know, it's always hard to see some of the news stories out there, bad accidents around this time, and you know, everyone's traveling, a lot more vehicles on the road during the holidays, so just take your time, slow down, turn your headlights on, especially like I said, even during the daytime, during the fog, you know, you can't see you. You know, other vehicles won't see you. You know, you could hit them or slip out. They say, take your time coming to intersections, slow, you know. Biggest thing, broken record, take your time. You know, it's not a race. You know, the gifts will be there. Family will be there. Hey, I take my time to go see my family sometimes. I'll take the extra hour, you know, depending on which side I'm seeing. So,
and, you know, in Crookston on Tuesday, we definitely experienced that. The roads were very slick. Sidewalks were incredibly slick. So definitely a lot of people got that reminder of, man, we definitely got to take it slow here.
Yeah, you know, and kudos to the street crews getting out. You know, the state was out. I'm sure the county was out. But then, you know, the city guys had two sand trucks going around sanding and just, you don't really realize how many miles of pavement run through a town.
Yeah.
And how many intersections there are until you have to start sanding them. And they can't be everywhere at once. But I know, talking to a couple of those guys, they had been out early that morning before anybody was really up and moving. And they were sanding as much as they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, essentially just to keep us safe and stuff like that. And somebody that maybe forgets to slow down a little bit, kind of a harsh reminder, but at the same point in time, I mean, we got public works crews that are out doing everything they can to make sure everybody's safe too.
I definitely remember on Tuesday, like, I thought about some of the slick spots that are that you typically think of, like that hill by the courthouse. I was like, oh boy, I'm gonna have to keep it slow. But then I went there and I was still going slow, but I saw the sand and I'm like, okay, it's gonna be pretty it's gonna be much better than maybe I anticipated. So that's good to hear that the city was all on top of that.
Yeah,
for sure. And then we also, you know, yesterday we had poor visibility. That also plays a factor into having to drive safely.
Defensive driving at this point in time, you know, yeah, you can be in a rush, but it's usually never worth it.
Yeah,
you know, you get in a rush, start cutting corners, you start kind of pushing the limits. Well, at some point in time, you're going to end up seeing myself and you're going to see Mr. Cox either with fire gear or his officer uniform on because accidents or something like that, you know, and it's just one of those things you do. You know, the world's so fast-paced these days anyways, you just got to take your time.
I'd say the other big thing with when it comes to the poor visibility is definitely having your lights on even during the day. That's huge. Yep.
And that's something people forget, and it's very easy to do or just turn, you know, get familiar with your car. Some of these newer vehicles are a little bit goofy too, where you might only turn one notch on and actually your taillights won't come on. So we run into that all the time, seeing vehicles drive around with one or the other on, and they, you know, just get out and check before you get in your car, get familiar with it, know your vehicle. So, and then check your tires too, you know, that's another one. Don't have your racing slicks on this time of year. So.
For sure, definitely a lot of good advice there. And I know that you mentioned, you know, like we talked about the cooking and holiday safety, but are there other tips that you have just around the house for winter time, whether it be with electronics or heating appliances, stuff like that? Are there important tips for when it gets to the winter time?
Yeah, you know, usually we come on in the fall and we try to tell everybody, make sure you service your heaters and stuff like that or have them serviced. And then when you get to this point of time, going out and grabbing salt, the last thing you want to do is be even just at home, and whether you're shoveling or just walking your car or something like that, tripping, slipping, you know. I think somebody in this room knows from experience what happens if you can slip on the ice. So, anything you can do is preventative. And then you start talking about, like, heating sources. Some people, they end up putting in like little portable heaters and stuff, just to take the nip out of the air. And then, with that, tip over protection is huge. And if you're not going to be in that room, shut that stuff off. You know, you don't want that running. Same type of thing where you got little kids, you got animals, you know, cats, dogs, or whatever. Anything goes over and knocks that thing over. If it doesn't have that tip over protection, it's going to keep running. And that doesn't take very long. Those things got some pretty powerful coils. There's a very good chance I can start a fire. Yeah. So, you know, just being attentive to that kind of stuff. So if you're in a room, have it on. But if you're not, if you're going to leave the room, just shut it off.
Yeah. So, especially if it tips over onto like a rug or a towel, like that can, you know, that doesn't take long for that to become a big fire hazard.
Yeah. And then, you know, you look outside today and you sit and it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm kind of surprised that we don't have like 400 people adopting hydrants right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, pretty good year to adopt a hydrant if you wanted to. but with that case, you know, I got to think it's a lot of averages. We're going to get snow here at some point in time. And making sure even if you can take a quick walk outside, check your exhaust pipes for your furnaces, stuff like that, so you don't get the ice buildup that's on there for your air exchanges and stuff. And then same thing with your gas meter. Just keeping that cleared out. That vents itself. When the furnace is running, if you got your natural gas, it's going to vent itself. So you want to make sure that none of that stuff gets plugged. And even now, I mean, with the ice and stuff like that, that and the frost and stuff that we have, it can end up plugging up. So you want to just make sure that those vents and stuff, just keep everything clear and keep it away.
Is there kind of a way that you can safely, like, clear out those pipes with the, if there's ice, like what's the proper technique, I guess, to maybe cleaning those out if there is some ice buildup?
Usually if something's ice capped like that, it's going to take a little bit to get up there. But if you can get up there, I mean, they make little copper pipes and stuff that'll stay warm, that'll help prevent freeze up from that. Mm-hmm. So that's more of a preventative action. But taking a chance and having to get up on your roof line to get to where that exhaust is, if it does come up through the roof, and realistically just breaking it, You should be able to just be careful with your hands, and there's enough moisture and stuff in there that it's probably not frozen solid, but it can be one of those things where it could have, with that buildup, you should be able to just break that off. It shouldn't be too rigid.
And you mentioned adopting a fire hydrant. For some people may not know what that entails. Do you want to kind of describe what that is?
Yeah, essentially we just ask residents around town if they've got a hydrant near their property or near their home that they would like to maintain throughout the winter months. We ask that we put it's like a 3-foot circle essentially around that hydrant. And the ultimate goal of that is if we do get the bad weather and it is blown in, a clear hydrant will save us, it could be anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes for getting water supply. And that's something that even recently we found to be very crucial to make sure that we have access to these hydrants, because as much water as we can flow and as fast as we can, we rely on having access to those hydrants. And if we don't have to take the grain shovels and stuff and start to clear the snow away, because at that point in time, it's kind of still a standstill. We don't have water to our trucks. We're using our onboard water, but it's always a timing game. You know, so if we can get the sooner we can get our hoses hooked up to those hydrants and get those opened up and using that water, the better off we're going to be.
And you mentioned like it can save 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes is so crucial. I mean, fires, they spread so quickly. Like I remember hearing how fast like those fires in Maui were spreading. It was just ridiculous. So that 5 minutes could be a crucial thing to be able to maybe save a little bit more of the house or an entire room or whatnot. So that's definitely an important thing.
Yeah, the saying that we have is what you do in the first 5 minutes will dictate the next 5 hours.
Yep.
And that's a very crucial piece of that puzzle.
Yeah, that's definitely important. So how do people adopt a fire hydrant?
They can either email us at cfd@crookston.mn.us, or they can just call the fire station at 218-281-4584. And all we need is your name, the location of the hydrant, and then if you want to name it something, you can go ahead and name it. We did say to keep it can be colorful, but we're still hoping family friendly.
Yeah.
And you know, it's we have had some interest, and we've had some people that have done that in the past. And I don't know, I think just because of the way the weather is right now, you know, it's kind of just being a little lax. But you know, Garrett's got gift cards and stuff that he's kind of waiting to hand out, and it's one of those where if we don't have anybody that's going to want to adopt hydrants, it's, you know, kind of tough for him to get rolling on this. And we're really looking for, like I said, residential and even commercial businesses and stuff, but we're looking for some community involvement. You know, it does take the community, you know, even small steps like that, just to keep the entire community safe. And it's something that it's a simple thing that you can do, you know, and you don't realize it, but it's not just affecting you, but it might be affecting your whole block or every one of your neighbors. You know, so if you can take 10 minutes out of your day when we do get those storms, it's greatly appreciated by the fire department. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, and you want the fire hydrants to be about like 3 feet of clear space. Is that kind of the goal? Or
yeah, it gives us enough room to work and access those caps and to be able to hook our hoses up.
Depends on the size of the firefighter too. Some of us only need about a foot and a half. There's other that might need 5. So okay. You know, it's
but just in general, yeah. Make sure you get a nice clear circle around the hydrant. And yeah, it's definitely something, you know, if you can take that time. I mean, it sometimes I think maybe people wouldn't be like willing to do it because they're like, oh, but we never use these fire hydrants. But it's much better to have it to where you cleared out and don't need it than to not clear it out and desperately need it. This is, I mean, we're talking like maybe life and death.
That's a very good possibility.
Yeah.
And so. that's ever, you know, people don't think about some of that stuff, and it's easy not to, you know, you don't want to think about maybe the bad things that can happen in life. But yeah, we found out last week, like you said, Shane said, how quickly we needed that water source, and that, you know, we got lucky because there wasn't any snow around those hydrants. I can bet last year on the north end there, one of them for sure would have bad. A snowbank around it, you know, taller than us. So, yeah.
And yeah, obviously, you know, fire safety is definitely on the minds of a lot of Crookston residents based on, you know, what happened not too many days ago. So it's good that we, you know, and it's unfortunate that happened, but it's almost like it's nice that you're on Valley Talk to remind people, you know, that it's important to have these safety tips. But we've got a few minutes left, and let's shift to a positive story, because there's a reason we brought a Derek Cox on. You know, Shane Helstead is plenty knowledgeable, and I'm sure Derek Cox is, but we brought him because he received an award recently. You want to describe what that is?
Yeah, to my surprise, you know, the other during our yearly awards kind of banquet, end up getting the Firefighter of the Year here for Crookston, and it was definitely an honor. Like I said, Shane over here is just working underneath them. What has it been now, last year or so, give or take? You know, came in and taken over as chief. And, you know, we're definitely wanting to change some things moving forward, try to, would be the best way, maybe modernize the fire department a little bit, or just new ideas, try to bring some new things to the table and keep guys interested. But it's been really fun. Said I've been on now a little over 3 years, and, you know, for anyone that's out there thinking, should I do it or should I join or try to get into the fire department, I would say do it. You know, it's definitely been a good thing for me. You know, working with all these guys, it's a good, you get to meet a lot of new guys. For me, I'm not from here, so it was definitely meeting a lot of the, you know, guys on the fire department and kind of branching out. It's another family. You know, obviously I work for the police department, I have my law enforcement family, but then I also have my firefighter family too, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a good group of guys and willing to do basically anything for you if you ask. So
that's good to hear. And was there like a nomination process that took place?
That was one thing that did kind of change this year. Was I asked at the beginning of the year, I just kind of reiterated, guys said, you know, said firefighter of the year is one thing. I want to see if you guys see something that stands out. If you have something where even if somebody excelled at one thing and you thought, you know, that might be worth it, just to have a nomination. So just to come and talk to me, or, you know, if you want to write it down and just put it on my desk, that's fine. And we ended up with a couple of nominations and got them. I was like, well, we're going to have to see. It's going to be my first difficult challenge. And then when I went through the nominations, and they both had the same name. So I was like, okay, well, it's good. Mm-hmm. You know, so, no, talked about it a little bit, and it was pretty, I don't know, it was a pretty obvious choice, I guess. I had even been thinking about it just with the experiences we've had. You know, Derek's on the board for the association, so his leadership comes through there, and then the committees that he's on. Like you said, coming from, you know, not from here, I guess, but his background in law enforcement, it gives us a different perspective down at the fire station. You know, we can still get on that single track mind. And for him to be able to speak up and, you know, I think we kept most things pretty civil this year.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
didn't have to break out the handcuffs or the taser at the meeting. So that was
yeah,
good.
That's always good.
Yeah.
But so the impact that he had, you know, this past year was really an outstanding thing that a lot of people talked about. So it was, like I said, it was well-deserved. And at the same point in time, it was, I don't know, it was a pretty good night.
Yeah. Now that's good to hear. Is there anyone else you want to thank, Derek Cox, with this award?
You know, I want to thank my wife and my child for being patient with me. I know this is a, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. It's a big time commitment, you know, and our families are just as part of the department, you know, with what we end up doing. You know, we talk about the fire the other night on Christmas Eve. You know, there was plenty of the guys that dropped what they're doing, yep, came down to the hall and went and took care of business, you know, and that's something that our families know what we do, and the sacrifices we make, you know. And that's a perfect example is a lot of them guys, I don't know when they cleared out of the hall, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
No.
I can guarantee some of them went right home to their kids, you know, waiting for them to come home and open presents, and they did it without any gripes. I can almost guarantee that. So that's just something I think that we do eventually. It's part of what we do as firefighters or just first responders in general. We just go to town, do what we need to do, and it's part of the job, you know. And but yeah, I just want to thank just all of our families for being patient with us. It's definitely something that they have to put up with our shenanigans, you know, at moments. So
well, it definitely isn't shenanigans. It's very important work and very just. I think the community and any family members would know that this is, you know, the sacrifices that you have to make to keep our town safe. So it's great to hear, and I'd like to extend my congratulations for winning that award, and I'm sure everyone here at KROX would feel the same. So it's great to hear, and I'm glad we were able to get you on Valley Talk to talk about it. And obviously we ran a story on it about a week ago, and that was a good story there. So, well, we are actually just about out of time. So I'll ask one more question. Let's tie a bow on everything we kind of talked about. Like, what do you think is the biggest thing in when it comes to winter, when preventing fires?
Oh boy!
I stumped you.
It's just trying to...
Don't be complacent.
Don't
be complacent with stuff, you know, like as Shane said earlier, you know, just be mindful of everything you're doing, you know. If you're going to plug a heater into a room, as he said, don't forget about it, you know. Don't think, it'll be fine. You know, that's I think what everyone gets kind of, we said earlier, one-track mind, or we get a little, you know, blind to stuff around us. But, you know, don't be complacent about things that are going on, and be mindful of everything around you. And that's just that and alone, you know, every situation. You can't put the one shoe fits all to everything out there, but, you know, that'll help most of your problems, you know.
Yes, especially with, you know, the busyness of the holidays, and that's over, but we got New Year's coming up, which also can be a very busy time, so it's important to stay diligent there.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you, Shane Helsteb and Derek Hawks, for coming on Valley Talk program, and hope you have a successful rest of the winter, and hopefully we'll have you on here soon again.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was your Valley Talk program here on this Friday, December 29th. And now...